Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to expand the boundaries of our knowledge.
Relationships don't work between black people. Racism, white supremacy is the reason.
Absolutely.
Can't get a job in the hood and you educated. Racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
Can't get an education in the hood because it's expensive. Racism, white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Poor education in the hood you live in. Racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
You live next to poor people who will rob your ass, steal and kill your ass because they don't have no options and they don't have no option to critically think. Racism, white supremacy.
Yeah.
And I see that that's a problem. So I wanted to just make a pimp decision.
$1 trillion flow. From L.A. to Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. Alabama. Texas. $1 trillion flow.
Stand up for your rights. Come on and get up. Stand up. Going on up in New York and Chicago, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, New Orleans. It's going on, the $1 billion flow. Down in Texas, Arkansas, North Carolina, South Carolina, Phoenix, Las Vegas, New York. We're calling for the $1 billion flow. I see you rise up and be brilliant. Say I'm rich, because I'm in the $1 billion flow. I am the original man. I am the original woman. I must have my respect. I must have my education. I must have $1 billion. I must be rich. I must lift my brothers and sisters out of the ghetto and out of poverty. Because I'm in the $1 billion flow. Get what I want. Have what I want. I can get it now. I'm in the $1 billion flow. Look at somebody. I'm in the $1 billion flow on my car. I'm in the
$1 billion. Tell somebody to get in the $1 trillion flow. I want you to get ready to sit for your business tonight. This is Friday night, the $1 trillion flow. Time for you to reach out and grow in your business. I want to say that to you and praying for you and you tonight, but it's the $1 trillion flow night. And what that means, that money supposed to be able to help you in your business, help you with your family. Peace and love. This goes out for you, Sister Lisa, Sister Kim in Detroit, Mary Hawking in Detroit, Pearl in Detroit, Jackson, Michigan, Jackson, Mississippi, Lexington, Durant, Jackson, Mississippi, Homa, Sweetport, Monroe, Faraday, Natchez, Mississippi, Little Rock, Memphis, Tennessee, St. Paul, Minnesota, Indianapolis, Indiana, South Dakota, North Dakota, West Monroe, Washington, D.C., Maryland, praying for you, Sister Jean. Mother Francis, down in Algiers, God bless you. Trina, God bless you. Mother Moon, God bless you tonight. And also, Mother Hecha, Dr. Christian, God bless you tonight. Every letter, every telephone call is a blessing. Get ready for God to do something special for you.
I'm
Together, I decree and come as a blessing for you. And I can see a door and finance open up for you. By the power of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
gonna be giving you stuff for the horn of plenty. And you need to have it where God will open up a door. He said, I will feed the hungry. You know, I'll clothe the naked. He said 5,000. Probably more than that, but the Bible said 5,000. With 3 little fish and 5 loaves of bread. If God did that, well, he'll do it for you. Whatever you need, God got whatever you want. God got get ready for a miracle. That bright star, all is well. Brother Sam Harris and Amiga Harris, I'm praying for y'all tonight, wherever you might be. And I want to tell Mother Frances, all is well. And I want to tell Sister Ollie, I'm praying for you tonight. Whatever you're going through, God going to see you through it. I'm praying for that lady that lost her brother, lost her son, lost her daughter, lost mother. There's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. I want you to get ready for God to carry you to another level. Those that lost their home in California, those that got flooded down in Mississippi, Alabama, and down in, they got flooded throughout Texas. God is creating a climate of success. I say. So get ready for God to bless you. Yes, you. Your name. God got your name. God know what you're going through for that healing, that cancer, that cataract, that tumor. Right now, I lift my hands up. You lift them hands up right now. Wherever you might be, in the name of the Almighty God, I decree the angel Raphael, the healing angel, come and touch that body right now. Some of you, one lady says she can't walk. Her legs hurt. One lady says she can't breathe. I decree healing right now. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. Reach up at the moon. Maybe you fall. But on falling, you might fall on a star. You're still on high ground. $1 trillion flow. That means money for you. Reparation for you. God said he's going to feed and give you what you need. You know, I want to tell you, they spent $6 trillion over in another country. We're praying for the Haitians, the Jamaicans. We're praying for those that they sent back. They have been walking for months trying to get in. Time they got in, they load them on a plane and send them back. We want to talk about bringing love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he would believe in him to have everlasting life. And I want to talk about, I ain't tired. Some of you are tired, but I'm not tired of what God going to do.
Father,
he a little God.
I stretch my
stretch my hand to you, no other help I know but God. We've been living, our ancestors have been living with the power of God. And I want to tell you, the rainbow in the sky letting you know that God's still looking out for me and you. And when you see a rainbow, that's God letting you know he's still in control. With God Almighty, they were talking about, I want to say they were talking about Chicago got burned up by a cow. They can stop that lie. When the scientists, there was a meteor shower and a hot meteor rock fell from the elements from up in space, and it burned a lot of places. It burned over in Michigan, some parts of Indiana. But since Chicago was so populated, cold hit and set it on fire. How can you have a fire on the north side and then have one in Cicero and have one on the south side? It was a meteor shower of hot rocks entered the atmosphere hot and setting wood. It was lots of wood plates there and set them on fire. I just want to clear that up. You know, go around with that lie. We've been, you know, the European people always hold on to a lie. They'll lie to you in a minute. And I'm just saying, only the truth will make you free. The truth to know that you can be healed tonight. The truth to know that cataract, tumor, high blood, low blood sugar, heart condition can be moved. And what you're talking about, it's in the spirit realm. You got to pull it down. And you pull it down by faith. Pull it down by your ancestors say, all is well. No, you reach up and you pull it down. I claim my new heart. I claim my new blood. I claim my kidneys. I claim my cataract. I claim, you got to claim it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I stretch my hand to thee that no other help I know but God. And I want to tell Miss Friday in the morning, in the evening, whatever it is to you, as you download, you're going to be all right in school. The money that you need, you're going to get it some money. That if somebody left some money for somebody, you're going to get that money. They passed, but they left it for you. It's a house for somebody. You need to go claim your house. I'm praying for you down in Colon, Alabama. Those in Huntsville, Alabama, I'm praying too. I'm praying for you, Vanilla. I'm praying for you. Sherry down in Ruston, Louisiana. God bless you. The whole Nixon family, I'm praying for. God is going to pour out a blessing. I can feel the spirit of Mother Bacon now. Mother Annie Bacon, I feel her spirit saying, tell Ellen I'm the woman that wouldn't quit and don't help quit. I'm going to say that. And I want Bishop, I want you to work to get my son out of jail because he's a political prisoner. And I want to say this, Mom Annie, I'm working with prayer. And I'm working to get your son out of prison because I know he's in there because he's a political prisoner. But we're going to write letters and we're going to begin to a campaign this year to get your son out of jail. Ashe. My man is coming to queue. I had to stop and do that. But she come and sit him and said, if there's a bishop talk about my son, I want him out. And I promise you, the power of God and you working, we're going to open up that door. I say. Helen, hold your head up. Stay focused. Keep the kids up tight. Things going to be all right. And now I want to tell you, I'm looking at, my man is family, then here come Pee-wee tomorrow. Bitch, what about me? Pee-wee, all is well. This Pee-wee coming. Trying to run some Pee-wee, you can't run nothing on that. And my man is running that. I say. I'm going to leave that alone. God bless tonight. That be anointed.
I stretch my hand before I drew my breath, what did thine lonely son mean? Before I
Sing that for me tonight. That's what I've been doing all these years. I want to read to you from the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, the 11th and 12th verses. You are familiar by this time with the subject, but I want to just read for you the actual text. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange god with him. The eagle stirs her nest. A lot of people have come to me telling me, calling me about the subject. Some of them said the eagle stirs his nest. One said the buzzard stirs his nest. Another one said you preaching on the chicken stirring his nest. So I've heard all kinds of things concerning this subject, but according to the rendering in the Bible, it is the eagle stirs her nest.
Yes, yes, sir.
You see. Now, may I just, by introduction, say that this particular passage that I have chosen comes out of that part of the Bible which we call the Pentateuch,
yes, sir,
or more commonly called the books of the law.
Yes, yes,
yes. This part of the Bible, according to lay people, was written as events took place. But it wasn't written like that. It was written time after time and track after track. And some of it was preserved and some of it was lost. And it did not come into a whole or a synthesis until the Babylonian exile. It was then that the priests and the Levites, who found themselves in the throes of a dilemma, in a crisis. I see Mrs. Ollie B. Patterson over there, my daughter Irma's mother-in-law. They found themselves in trouble, and it's a funny thing that most people don't think too much about God or themselves or their destiny until they get in trouble. So when they were carried off to Babylon by the conquest of Nebuchadnezzar,
and enslaved, they did a very unique thing. They did not do what most of the people in this part of the world did. Usually, people in that part of the world, in the Euphrates Valley or in the Mediterranean area, when their gods fell, or when they were conquered by other people, they forsook their gods because they considered that their gods had fallen. But the Jews or the Hebrews did a very unique thing. When their nation fell, they didn't put it on their God. They said, we are responsible. It's our backsliding ways, it's our sin that have brought this calamity upon us. And what we need to do is to re-examine the law and the prophets and reinterpret them and synthesize them into a whole. Not only for ourselves, but for generations to come. I don't believe you're going to pray with me tonight. So that until the Babylonian exile. It was then that the priests and the Levites, who found themselves in the throes of a dilemma, in a crisis. I see Mrs. Ollie B. Patterson over there, my daughter Irma's mother-in-law. They found themselves in trouble. And it's a funny thing that most people don't think too much about God or themselves or their destiny until they get in trouble. So when they were carried off to Babylon by the conquest of Nebuchadnezzar and enslaved, they did a very unique thing. They did not do what most of the people in this part of the world did. Usually, people in that part of the world, in the Euphrates Valley or in the Mediterranean area, when their gods fell, or when they were conquered by other people, they forsook their gods because they considered that their gods had fallen. But the Jews or the Hebrews did a very unique thing. When their nation fell, they didn't put it on their God. They said, we are responsible. It's our backsliding ways, it's our sins that have brought
this calamity upon us. And what we need to do is to re-examine the law and the prophets and reinterpret them and synthesize them into a whole. Not only for ourselves, but for generations to come. I don't believe you're going to pray with me tonight. So that this passage that I have read in your hearing comes from out of this situation.
Yes.
Now, I want you to understand that the writer here is personifying the nation.
Yes.
And he's using great symbolism. Now, Jacob, who is called here, is a personification of Israel.
Yes.
The eagle is a personification of God. The nest that the eagle was stirring is a personification of history. He is saying, just as the eagle stirs her nest, fluttereth over her young, spread abroad her wings and protect them. Yahweh has done that in history for Israel. That's what he's really saying. By personification, you say, sometimes you say, well, the Negro does this. You're not talking about one person. You're talking about the whole ethnic group. And this is what is going on here. Moses did not write this. For you see, as I refer to our teachers who teach us English, will agree with me when I said this is in the third person. And when any writing is in the third person, it is written by somebody about somebody else. You see, it is the first person. If I say, I am doing so, that's the first person. If I say, you are doing so and so, that's the second person. But if I said, John did such and such thing, that's the third person. So this is Moses writing. This is somebody writing about Moses. This is somebody writing about Israel. You don't hear what I'm saying. Now, he talks about the protection of the eagle. And symbolizing the eagle with God. The eagle is a regal bird. You don't hear me. The eagle is a regal bird. And by regal, I mean kingly, royal. And in this way, the eagle symbolizes God, because God is not just a king. He is the king. And I'm glad it's that way, because kings and rulers got to have somebody over them, and they've got to be accountable to somebody. So in this way, the eagle symbolizes God in his regalness. And then in the next place, the eagle is strong. It is said that the eagle can fly along, look down, and see a young lamb or a young animal grazing in a meadow by a mountainside and swoop down upon that unsuspecting lamb or animal and grab him in the strength of his paws or feet and fly away to yonder's cleft and devour him. He's just that strong. God is strong. You don't hear me. God is strong. Somebody said that he upholds and undergirds the universe. Somebody said that this planet that we live on called Earth, we know by now that it is not built upon a platform. It doesn't have anything holding up that's visible, but it is held in place by two countering forces called typical and centripetal forces. And they balance a regal bird. You don't hear me. The eagle is a regal bird. And by regal, I mean kingly, royal. Royal. And in this way, the eagle symbolizes God, because God is not just a king. He is the king. And I'm glad it's that way, because kings and rulers got to have somebody over them, and they've got to be accountable to somebody. So in this way, the eagle symbolizes God in his regalness. And then in the next place, the eagle is strong. Is strong. It is said that the eagle can fly along, look down, and see a young lamb or a young animal grazing in a meadow by a mountainside and swoop down upon that unsuspecting lamb or animal and grab him in the strength of his paws or feet and fly away to yonder's cleft and devour him. He's just that strong. God is strong. You don't hear me. God is strong. Somebody said that he upholds and undergirds the universe. Somebody said that this planet that we live on called Earth, we know by now that it is not built upon a platform. It doesn't have anything holding up that's visible, but it is held in place by two countering forces called typical and centripetal forces. And they balance each other. You don't hear me. All they are talking about when they say that is just talking about how strong God is. Huh? So strong that somebody called him a leaning post in Zion that millions could lean on and be substantiated and be secure. And somebody called him a city of refuge. And then they called him a fortress. Now you know that that's talking about strong, isn't it? So in that way, the eagle symbolizes God. Then you see the eagle is swift. Swift. It is said that the eagle can fly with such swiftness that his wings can be heard roaring in the air. And at the approach of a storm, he can zoom up above the storm and get out of the fury of the storm. Well, in that way, the eagle symbolizes God. For God, you see, is swift. You don't hear me. He's swift. Well, I could tell you many, many instances of his swiftness, but I'll just tell you about one. One day down in Babylon, three Hebrew boys got in trouble. They got in trouble with the king because they would not recognize and respect the ceremony dedicating a new god. Somewhere in their history, in their cultural background, they had something which said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And they wouldn't buy. By the time that they had made it clear that they wouldn't buy and were sentenced to a fiery furnace, God was so swift. He was there before they could get him from court to the furnace and was walking around in the furnace, air conditioning the fiery furnace so that it didn't singe a hair on their head. Oh, he's swift. Huh? He's swift.